Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. And last week, I was sharing why I believe off-campus feels like a healing movement. And since then, I've had many conversations with people. And what struck me most after that episode wasn't how many people wanted to actually talk about the show, but how many people wanted to actually talk about themselves and their trauma and their healing and their relationships and their stories. And honestly, I think that's because the best stories don't just entertain us. They help us understand ourselves. So whether you've watched Off Campus or you've never seen a single episode, this conversation is really about something much bigger than a show. It's about trauma. It's about healing. It's about what happens when painful experiences live in our bodies long after the event is over. And it's about what it takes to feel safe again. As a trauma therapist, as you know, I have loved this show for so many reasons, but one of the things I've really appreciated about it is the story. It didn't just show trauma. It actually showed us trauma responses, because when something painful happens to us, our bodies don't simply forget. Our nervous systems adapt. Our brains adapt. Our bodies adapt. And that's not weakness, that's survival. And maybe you've experienced that yourself. Maybe you've noticed anxiety that doesn't seem to make sense. Or maybe you've had panic attacks that make you feel like you're dying. Or maybe you found yourself overthinking or overpreparing or overfunctioning or struggling to trust. And maybe you've wondered why something that happened years and years ago still affects you today. And if that's you, I want you to hear this. You are not crazy. That's one of our mottos around here. And you're not weak and you're not broken. Your nervous system has been trying to protect you. Because remember, trauma isn't just what happened to us. Trauma is what happened inside of us because of what happened. It's the disconnect that happens inside of us. It's the way that our bodies then learn to anticipate danger. It's the way our minds try to prevent future pain. It's the way our nervous systems stay on guard long after the threat is gone. And one of the reasons I think so many people connected with Hannah's story is because her reactions made sense. Her flashbacks made sense. Her panic made sense. Her fear made sense. The hesitation she had, the disassociation she had made sense. The hypervigilance. Nothing about her was broken. Her nervous system was doing exactly what nervous systems do after trauma. It was trying to keep her safe. And honestly, I wish more people understood that, because so many survivors spend years asking, what's wrong with me? When I think the better question is, what happened to me? And what was my body trying to do to survive it? And some of you might be listening and thinking, well, I didn't have the same thing happen. I wasn't raped like she was. And maybe that's true. But you may still recognize yourself in Hannah's anxiety or her fear or her hesitation or her difficulty trusting or her feeling disconnected from her body. And if that's you, I want you to know something. Our nervous systems respond not only to what happened, they respond to how safe or unsafe we felt. Many women have had sexual experiences that they may have technically agreed to, but didn't truly want. Experiences where maybe they felt pressured or obligated or manipulated or guilted or afraid of disappointing someone or afraid of losing the relationship or afraid of what would happen if they said no. And while every story is different, our bodies often know when something didn't feel safe. Our bodies know when our choices didn't feel free. Our bodies know when our voice wasn't fully available. And our bodies know when we abandon ourselves. As a trauma therapist, I've worked with many women who blamed themselves because they said yes. But when we slow that down and look closer, we often discover there wasn't really much room for a genuine no. And that matters. And I know that might be kind of heavy to think about and heavy to hear right now, but if that has been your body's response, I want you to pay attention. Because healing begins when we stop asking, what's wrong with me? And we start asking, what happened to me? What did I learn to do to survive? What was my nervous system trying to protect me from? Because your symptoms make sense too, and your body makes sense, and your reactions make sense. And understanding that can be the beginning of healing. And what I also appreciated about the show is it didn't just show us Hannah's trauma. It showed us Garrett's trauma too. And his trauma looks different. Garrett grew up in an abusive home. He watched his father hurt his mother. He watched someone he loved suffer and he couldn't stop it. He couldn't protect her. But Garrett wasn't only witnessing abuse, he was experiencing it too. His father hurt him too and left bruises. And then told him it was just making him tough. It was helping him become a man, it was preparing him for life. And honestly, that's how abuse often survives. It's disguised as discipline. It's disguised as toughness. It's disguised as love. And because Garrett was a hockey player, the bruises were easy to explain away. So nobody had to ask questions. Nobody took a closer look. And that's another thing trauma survivors often recognize. The normalization of harm. So many survivors tell me, oh, I thought that was normal. I didn't realize that that was abuse. I thought everybody lived like that. When something becomes part of your everyday life, you stop recognizing it as harmful. Once again, you adapt, you survive, you normalize until one day you realize, wait, that wasn't strength. That was pain. That wasn't discipline. That was abuse. And then at one point in the show, we see another side of Garrett's trauma emerge. And when he sees bruises on Cindy, his father's girlfriend, his old wounds come rushing back and his flashbacks begin. And the memories return and the helplessness returns. Because trauma doesn't stay neatly in the past, it shows up in the present. And when Garrett sees Cindy being hurt, he's not just seeing Cindy. Part of him is seeing his mother. And part of him is seeing himself. And part of him is reliving every moment he couldn't stop the abuse. Every moment he couldn't protect someone that he loved. And that's what trauma does. Sometimes we're reacting to what's happening right now. And sometimes what's happening right now is waking up something much older in you or much younger in you. Something unfinished, something unresolved, something that still hurts. And Garrett's flashbacks make sense. And his nervous system wasn't overreacting, it was remembering. And I'm trying not to spoil too much for you, but another part of the show, when Garrett gets really angry and gets violent with the person that hurt Hannah, we see another trauma response emerge from him. And that's fear. And it's not fear of Hannah, it's fear of himself. It's fear that he might become his father. It's fear that the violence he witnessed somehow now lives inside of him. And honestly, I have seen that fear in so many survivors. People who grow up around abuse often carry an enormous fear of becoming abusive themselves. And not because they are abusive, but because they know firsthand how devastating abuse can be. And what I loved about Garrett's story is that it reminds us that having trauma doesn't make you your trauma. And witnessing abuse doesn't make you abusive. And feeling anger doesn't make you dangerous. What matters is what we do with our pain. Do we repeat the cycle or do we break it? And Garrett's story, just like Hannah's, is ultimately a story of breaking the cycle. And then another beautiful scene that I think has probably been one of the most talked about scenes is where Garrett is actually helping Hannah heal from the rape by getting her more comfortable in her body around him. And you know, I don't think people are just responding to an orgasm. I think they're responding to the safety that was present. I think they're responding to the patience that was shown. And they're responding to the trust. And they're responding to the idea that someone could know your wounds and sit with you in them and not rush you. And that someone could see your pain and not turn away. And that someone could remind you, you're not broken. For many survivors, that scene was not about sex. It was about possibility. The possibility that healing is real. The possibility that intimacy can feel safe. the possibility that your needs matter too. And the possibility that you don't have to perform or rush or abandon yourself to be loved. And as someone who works with many women who were raised in religious environments, I couldn't help but think about how many women have told me that they've never experienced that kind of safety in their intimacy. They've only experienced obligation or pressure or fear or shame or performance, but not safety and not patience and not someone helping them be patient with themselves. And I think that's part of why this scene hits so many people so deeply. Because they weren't just watching Hannah heal, they were imagining what healing might look like for themselves. And before we go any further, I want to add an important piece of this. As we've been talking about Hannah and Garrett, I don't want anyone listening to hear and think, if I could just find the right partner, I'd heal. Because while I do think their relationship is beautiful, I don't actually think romance is the healing ingredient. I think connection is. I think safety is. I think authenticity is. And I think being seen is. And for some people, healing does happen in a romantic relationship, but for others, it can happen through friendships. It can happen through a therapist. It can happen through support groups, safe community, a sibling, a parent, a mentor. Honestly, when I look at my own healing, friendship has been one of the most powerful healing forces in my life. People who saw me, people who listened, people who stayed, people who told me the truth, people who helped me carry things that I was never meant to carry alone. So while I do love Hannah and Garrett's story, I think the deeper lesson is this: healing doesn't require a Garrett, but it does require connection, and it does require safe people. And people who help you remember that you matter. And that's exactly what Hannah and Garrett become for each other. And it's not because they save each other or they fix each other, but they both choose honesty. They both choose authenticity. They both choose vulnerability and they let each other in. And if you've experienced trauma, then you know how brave that really is. Because trauma teaches us to hide, teaches us to protect, to disconnect, to survive. And yet, throughout the story, we watch two wounded people choose connection. They help each other face what hurts, they help each other tell the truth, they help each other feel like they matter. And I think that's one of the most healing things we can do for another human being. Not erase their pain, not fix their pain, but help it matter. Help them matter. Because underneath the trauma, underneath the romance, underneath all the chemistry is a deeply human truth. We all want to know that we matter. We all want our stories to matter. We all want our pain to matter. We all want our healing to matter. We want someone to see the parts of us we've hidden away and not turn away. And that's exactly what Hannah and Garrett give each other. Not perfection, but presence. Not rescue, but a safe relationship. Not fixing each other, but connection. And that's where so much healing begins. One of my favorite things to say is we are wounded in relationships and we are healed in relationships. Not all relationships, but safe relationships, honest relationships, authentic relationships, relationships where we can tell the truth and still be loved. Relationships where we can bring our wounds into the light and discover we're not too much. Relationships where someone helps us remember that we're not broken. That scene was so beautiful. And that's what moved me most about this story. It's not that it just showed trauma. What moved me was that it also showed healing. It showed people facing what hurt them, feeling what hurt, and healing what hurt. It showed people breaking cycles instead of repeating them. It showed people choosing connection instead of isolation. And it showed people helping each other heal. And that maybe that is why so many of us felt emotional watching it. Because deep down, I think every survivor is asking the same question. Is healing possible for me? Can I trust again? Can I feel safe again? Can I become more than what happened to me? And I believe the answer is yes. Not necessarily quickly and not perfectly or all at once, but absolutely yes, healing is possible. And I think that's what Off Campus reminded so many of us of and gave us the hope for. Not that trauma isn't real or healing is easy, but that neither trauma nor the pain gets the final word. It's the hope, it's the possibility that we can heal, and gave us examples of what that looks like in real life. And so, as you can see, this show and what I'm taking from this show and what many people are taking from this show just goes right along with my heart. My heart for Embrace Your Brave, my heart for Women to Heal, my heart for Not That Girl Anymore podcast. And just to think that more people are talking about healing, more people are talking about trauma, and more people are believing that it might be possible. And that we might all get to be part of healing one another. That excites me. So, once again, if you haven't watched it, I still highly recommend it. But even just learning from it and seeing yourself in it and just getting that hope that you too can heal. So, friends, until next time, remember this: you matter, your story matters, your pain matters, your healing matters, your dreams matter, and you're not that girl anymore.
Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing.
Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.